Governor Terry Branstad is about to complete his tenure as Iowa's and the nation's longest-serving governor, with his likely confirmation soon as U.S. ambassador to China. As Iowans weigh in on the Branstad legacy, views differ depending on whether you're looking at Branstad's earlier terms or those he's just completing. Iowa Public Radio's Joyce Russell reports.
Des Moines attorney Doug Gross was Governor Branstad's chief of staff in his early years in office. He has no trouble naming Branstad's biggest achievement from that time up to now.
I think the most important thing he did as governor was he took a state that frankly had not grown and frankly had shrunk in population for over 100 years and for the first time is growing. Particularly the urban centers of the state are growing and creating enough critical mass, I think, to sustain the state long term.
That's significant, he says, given what happened in Branstad's very first term, the farm credit crisis of the 1980s. In his 1990 Condition of the State address broadcast on Iowa Public Television, Branstad recounted just how bad things got.
We watched in dismay as the floor fell out of our economy, land values plummeted, bankruptcies mounted, unemployment near double digits, and many Iowans moved to other parts of the country in search of jobs. Never again will we let our economy rest on a one-legged stool.
And over time, Gross says, the one-legged stool of agriculture became a more diverse economy through Branstad's tireless promotion of value-added agriculture, alternative energy, and insurance and finance. Gross also praises Branstad's early achievements in education and the environment, and others who worked with him in those years agree. David Osterberg with the Iowa Policy Project was in the legislature when the Groundwater Protection Act was passed in 1987.
And there the governor was active. He had his own bill. He thought about the issue. He learned a lot about it and really did protect our groundwater, our drinking water.
Jen Reinecke was with the state's largest teachers union, the Iowa State Education Association, during Branstad's early terms.
And he was known as the education governor from 1980 on. He chaired the Education Commission of the States during that time period. He worked with us on a $100 million salary increase for teachers in the state of Iowa in 1987, and it was a very progressive piece of legislation at the time.
Those early programs also included all-day kindergarten. The ISEA went on to back Branstad for re-election in 1990. In still other early initiatives garnering praise, Branstad expanded children's health care and called for comparable worth, equalizing pay for women in state government jobs. But praise from some Iowans is tempered by dissatisfaction with the governor's second set of terms. That includes some shoppers outside a Fairway store in Boone. Small businessman Dan Doran likes Branstad's renewable energy program.
And I think that that's a very forward-looking approach. But one of the negatives that I see in his term has been, quite frankly, his support of Donald Trump.
Community college instructor Tammy Foltz says Branstad has done a good job marketing the state.
I guess if he was a CEO of a company, he was good at promoting the face of Iowa and getting our brand out. But I have a lot of friends that are state employees, and they are super sour about Governor Branstad.
That's a reference to the governor signing a bill weakening, some say gutting, collective bargaining for public workers. And those who praised the education governor of the earlier years are sharply critical now. The ISEA official whose organization endorsed Branstad in 1990 says today K-12 schools are underfunded and teachers disrespected. Doug Gross criticizes a shift in higher ed, recalling Branstad's appointee to head the Board of Regents in the 80s and 90s, Marvin Pomerantz.
Marv had his enemies, but there was no more tireless promoter or advocate for education, including higher education in our institutions, than Marv Pomerantz. And he succeeded in working with the governor to get funding at a really good level and getting, frankly, faculty salaries at a really good level.
Whereas Gross says no one would call recent president, businessman Bruce Rastetter, a tireless advocate for education, and he says the institutions have suffered. Gross says the changes reflect the Republican Party's move to the right. And he says over time, Branstad became more hands-off on the detail. He says that's reflected in his closing of the mental health institutes and privatizing Medicaid. Someone with very little negative to say about Terry Branstad's legacy is the president of the Iowa Farm Bureau, Craig Hill. Speaking by phone from his farm in Milo, Hill says from the early years to the last, Branstad has backed a strong farm economy.
When you think about Terry Branstad, you have to recognize such an ally and champion that he has been of agriculture. He has been a promoter and an advocate for growth in agriculture and actually flexing our muscles in what we do best here in the Midwest.
Hill cites value-added agriculture in particular, making chemicals, plastics, and adhesives from plants instead of petroleum. But Hill cites a shortfall in Branstad's last term in office. He wishes the governor had left a long-term funding mechanism for water quality. On the upside for education, many have high hopes for Branstad's new teacher quality program, which lets teachers advance in their careers without becoming administrators. Margaret Buckton lobbies for both urban and rural schools.
That's a big change. Yeah, and a significant achievement. It has both good intentions and good hope for results.
One longtime observer of Iowa politics, former Des Moines Register writer David Yepsen, says defining a legacy at all is a little suspect.
You know, I think that legacies are difficult things to assess right at the time. Ask me in 15 years.
Yepsen says after living in Illinois, where the budget is a shambles, he has a new appreciation for good fiscal management, what he calls the mundane thing of a balanced budget, cash reserves, and a good bond rating. That may be Branstad's biggest achievement, even if some critics don't like how he and Republicans in the legislature got there. I'm Joyce Russell, Iowa Public Radio News.